Okay, morning everybody. Today's daf is Chaf Beis. We're on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, a few lines up from the bottom right now. We are sponsored by OMO Construction and the Baumzers. And I guess we're ready to jump in. Right in the middle of a sugya. The issue here is, like we started last time, we're going to continue all day today, pretty much. Is going to be the issue of what's called Tevilas Ezra. Tevilas Ezra is Ezra instituted in the beginning of Beis Sheni. Ezra instituted a requirement that any man, or we'll also see even a woman, who has had a discharge of semen from the body for the man, it's either with when he's with his wife or not, doesn't matter. And for the woman, it means that if she had semen in her body, then up to 3 days later, that could come out of her body. It could roll out. All of it's going to come out pretty quickly, but unless she doesn't move much. And then that also would be subject to this, it seems. That she wouldn't be able, what did he say? He said you can't learn Torah or be osek in tefillah, Torah and tefillah. And we've saw also Kriya Shema, which seems to be like Torah, and Brachos, which seems to be like tefillah. And those are all subject to these rules. Over the years, there have been a lot of discussion among the Tanaim and Amoraim about how to apply this halacha. We're going to see all that today. And nowadays, very few people are even aware that it exists. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to require it. So we'll see all that. Let's take a look. Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, moving up a bit. We were in the middle of a discussion about Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda had a certain lenient position with respect to this, as we saw in the Mishnah Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. And we were a little bit exploring that. Does he deny the entire Takanas Ezra? That was the question we had. And then, so now we're starting from five lines up in the middle of the wide lines. It says, Tanan. It says, hold on a minute. There's a Mishnah. We're going to see this Mishnah, the last Mishnah of the Perek. Zav shara keri v'nida shepata shefa zera v'hamishameshes shirasa dam nida. You have a person who's a zav, which is a high-level tumah, he becomes an avatumah. Shara keri, then he experiences a different, he becomes a balkeri, which is a low-level tumah. So as far as the laws of tumah v'tahara goes, that's too little to make a difference. But it has this new rule of the kind of Tevilas Ezra. So he's a Zav who sees Keri. Or a Nida, or a woman who's a Nida, she's an Av, she's a high-level Tuma. Shepalta Shechva Zera, who had Zera in her, and now the Zera came out of her, so she becomes a Poleta Shechva Zera, but she's already been a Nida. V'amisha Meshes. Or a woman who's had Tashmish, and then she's automatically a poletes. There is Adam, and then she sees Damnidus. So you notice the difference between case 2 and 3 is the order, the sequence. Was she first a high-level tuma, then she became also a poletes, or vice versa. So here's what it says in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama says, Tzirich in Tevila, Rabbi Yehuda Poter. The Tanakhama holds that these people all need Tevila, and the Tevila is effective. That's important. The tefillah is effective. Rabbi Yehuda Poter. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no need for the tefillah because you have a high level tumah already. The tefillah doesn't accomplish anything. So now the Gemara has the following analysis. It says that kala poter Rabbi Yehuda el bezav shara keri de meikara lav bar tefillah hu aval bal keri gereda mechayiv. You see, isn't it clear from the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda holds of the whole rule of Tevilas Ezra? All he says is that if you happen to have a superimposed upon it, a high-level tumah, it's not necessary, it's not effective. So this is supposed to show that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't deny Tevilas Ezra. Gemara says, well, the chitema hu adin afila balkari gereda nam yipata Rabbi Yehuda. Well, theoretically, you could argue, if you have to, that Rabbi Yehuda maybe denies Tevilas Ezra altogether when he's pottering. Really, it means that he's pottering altogether, and the point of saying it this way is just to tell me that the Tanakhama holds of it so much that he's mechayev tevila, even though he's also the tumah is going to remain. The Gemara says, no, you can't even argue that way, because the last line proves that it's not so. Ema seifa mishamesh esveras adam. So that last line where it says that the woman is mishamesh, she had tashmish with her husband, so she's now a poletes, and she's tahora at that point. So presumably now you would trigger the requirement to tefillah. But then ras adam, and then she sees dam nidus. So now what are you going to say? So the Tanakhama says tzricha tefillah, obviously that's obvious. But that's the point. It's so obvious because that has to automatically follow from the Tanakhama's earlier couple of cases. Leman katanila. Why was that case even included in the Mishnah? Yilema le Rabbanan pshita. It can't be for the Rabbanan because Rabbanan held that you have to be tovel even in the reverse direction. So this doesn't add anything. So it must be lehodiacha. It must be the reverse. Obviously, if in case two you're going to have the woman go to mikvah before she does Torah and Tefillah, so koshkein in this direction. So it must be telling me that this is even Rabbi Huda, who normally would have exempted. In the first two cases, we understand that what are you going to argue? That it doesn't require tefillah at all? So then, obviously in this case, he wouldn't have required. So that whole third case, the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, it obviously follows, and therefore it wouldn't have been put there because it doesn't tell me anything. So it must be, Elulav, it must be, no. Rabbi Yehuda really agrees to the whole tefillah Ezra. And he just has a lenient position with respect to those couple of cases. The Dafka Katani Lamisha Meshes, Verasa Nida, Enetricha Tvila. I might have thought, now we're on Chafezim at Aleph on the second line. Aval Balkari Gereda Mechayev. A normal Balkari would be Chayev. The only reason not to is in the case, as it says in the last mission of the Perek, that you have a higher Tumah superimposed on top of it simultaneously. So now, with all this in mind, we've just wrapped up an argument which says that Rabbi Huda, now that you're going to tell me that he holds that there is a Tfilas Ezra, so the question is, the problem that we had was that Rabbi Huda tells you in the Mishnah Mevarech Lefanav Yachareha, you'd say Brachos. So why would you be allowed to do that if he holds of Takanas Ezra, Tfilas Ezra? Then the Gemara says, well, it must be like this. It must be true that when Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said mevarech lefanei le'achareha, he meant meharher. It can't be bepeh. Okay, so that's pretty clear. That's what the Gemara says so far. The Gemara says, hold on a minute. Umi yisle le'Rabbi Yehuda hirhur. Hold on a minute. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold of hirhur, meaning of the need for hirhur, the need for hirhur? The Hatanya Balkarish Ainla Maim Litbol Kore Kriyashma Vain Barak Lufanodalechreha. This is all the Tanakhama as Rabbi Meir. So look what it says in this brisa. Let's say you have a Balkari Sha'ainla Mayim Litbol. A Balkari who has a hard time to get water. Now what is he supposed to do? So here's what it says. Unlike let's say when he had access to the water where we demand that he be tovel, at least under the provisions of the Takanas Ezra. Over here, if you don't have water available, so what are you supposed to do? So it says here, well, okay, under those conditions, Kori Kriyashima, Veina Mivarak Lofaneva Leyafareha, Veyochal Pito, Mivarak Leyafare, Veina Mivarak Lofaneha, Aval Mahar Her Bilibo, Veina Motzi Bisfasav, Dere Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is pretty identical to what it says in the Mishnah on Fafa Ahmed Beis, that the Balkari, without having any water, has the full rules. The rules being you have to hear her maximum, and the hear her is only kriyashma and only benching. But along comes Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Benkach, Benkach, Motzi Bisfasav. Rabbi Yehuda says, you could be Motzi Bisfasayim. It's not just hear her. It's not just hear her. So you see, even though he's talking about Mevarech Lefanei Le'achareha, and the whole thing, everything, is Mevarech Lefanei Le'achareha. So Rabbi Yehuda in this Braisa is explicit that he's Motzi Bisfasayim. So Rabbi Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Asan Rabbi Yehuda Kilchis Derech Eretz. Rabbi Nachman Rav Yitzchak, the Amor, reconciles the Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of the Mishnah versus Rabbi Yehuda in general with Takanas Ezra, which means like this, that Rabbi Yehuda, for some things, he doesn't insist on Hirhur. There are some exceptions to the rule. In other words, the other way of saying it is that the insistence on following the Tfilas Ezra was not meant for all things. It was only for some kinds of things, and we'll see what that is coming up further along. We'll see it's like a six-way or five-way machlokas among the Tanoim, and Rabbi Yehuda is on the list of one of the things. So the point is that Rabbi Yehuda considers the brachas of Kriya Shema to be unnecessary to be tovel. You can that even a Belkeri can say. That's Rav Nachman Yitzchak's approach. He says Rabbi Yehuda, oh, he holds that brachas Kriya Shema kilchas derech eretz. The Sanya. Okay, now we have this Bryce. The Bryce is going to lay out a whole bunch of different opinions about what kinds of things are proscribed, are forbidden under the terms of the Takanas Ezra. It's not everything. We were thought it was everything. That's what it seemed. But now we're discovering that it depends. Let's take a look. The sound like it says in the Bryce, Ve'odatem levanecha ve'levnei vanecha. The Pasuk says that you have to teach your children and grandchildren the Maimad Har Sinai. Malahalon, what's the connection? Malahalon be'ema b'yira b'resa subazia. Afkan be'ema b'yira b'resa subazia. Just like the Maimad Har Sinai was under conditions of trembling and awe, so too, Talmud Torah Lidoros is supposed to be conducted the same way. Mikan Amru. Because of that consideration, Amru meaning Ezra and the Knesset HaGedolah, they instituted the following policy that I don't care if you're Tamei can learn Torah. Hazavim v'amitzarayim v'boyin al nidos mutaras l'kros v'torah b'nivim v'b'ksivim l'shnos mishnah v'gemara b'halachos v'b'agoras. There's no restriction on being Tamei, but aval b'alei karyin. And so, of course, the concept is that a Balkari is, I don't know exactly, you know, what they're thinking, but the principle that we're being told over here is the Balkari is kind of an embodiment of an expression of kind of a non-awe and reverence and trembling. And therefore, they're not suitable for Limud HaTorah, for Talmud Torah. Asurim. So Tanakhama says a blanket prohibition on everything. Rabbi Yossi, unless that's just a kind of a heading, and that we're going to see names that has to how far it goes. We'll have to see. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi the Tana qualifies and he says, well, Shonhu Regilos. He's allowed to learn Regilos, the Mishnayos that are common, that are frequent, that are, in other words, that are a familiar. B'levad shelo yetzias a Mishnah, but he's not allowed to teach Mishnah. I'll question about what that means here. On the side, they quote from the Arif that it means to teach. The issue is that we're talking about teaching. That's what's restricted. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, Matziyahu as a Mishnah, Vena Matziyah sa Gemara. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef says, no, teaching halachos is okay. Mishnah for them is halachos. But you can't teach the analysis. And Rabbi Nosson bar Rabbi Shalom Omer, Rabbi Nosson bar Rabbi Shalom, these are somewhat unfamiliar names, says, no, after Matzias HaGemara, Bilvat Shalom Yomer Azkara Shebo. Rabbi Nosson bar Rabbi Shalom, it feels that the issue is the Shem Hashem. That's what you have to have the awe from. So you have to circumlocute. Anyway, that's how we always do whenever we teach. So whenever we learn, we're doing that anyway. So it wouldn't be too restrictive. And Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, Talmidosh Rabbi Akiva, Mishim Rabbi Akiva, Omer. And Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Lo ikanes lemedrash kolikar, v'yomri lo ikanes lebesa medrash kolikar. He said that Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's a kind of a blanket prohibition against everything. And, or maybe only against Midrash, which is like anything, I guess, that connects the Tarsha B'Chsav with Tarsha B'Alpeh. And Rabbi Yehuda, now this is the Rabbi Yehuda that's relevant for our purposes, Omer, Shonahu Bilchus Derech Eretz. The Rabbi Yehuda says, well, in general, you can't be teaching, learning maybe, or teaching any kind of Torah at all, except for easy things, like Hilchos Derech Eretz. We happen to have a Masechta Derech Eretz. Rashi refers to a Masechta Derech Eretz. We happen to have two Masechta Derech Eretz. In the back, it's printed in the back of the Masechta Avodah Zarah. You find where there are a whole collection of kind of a little miscellaneous Masechtos there, and two of them are called Derech Eretz. There's big Derech Eretz and little Derech Eretz. And it says, Rashi refers to them over here as being what was being intended over here, which is, these are aspects of Torah that don't require a lot of analysis, and therefore those are kind of simple matters, or straightforward matters, or hashkafic matters. And so even a Belkeri can teach that. And then once we mentioned this about Rabbi Huda, anyway, point being that having learned this, up above Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak said, well, that's how Rabbi Yehuda understands also things like Birchas Kriya Shema, which are not really subject to the ban because they're straightforward and don't require any thinking. And we point out the following kind of peculiar story. Here we go. Ma'isa b'Rabbi Yehuda. Once upon a time, Rabbi Yehuda the Tana was Shirah Keri. He happened to have been walking with his students, and he became a Balkari. And he told them, "Well, I just became a Balkari." Okay. And it's a little funny. Anyway, but Vahaya Mahalich al-Gavanar. Happened to have been, right? At that time, they were walking near the river. Amrlo Talmidav says, Talmidim says to him, Rabbeinu, Shanei lonu perek echad b'ilchus derech eretz. Rabbi, why don't you teach us something in ilchus derech eretz? Meaning that they've already knew, they knew what his policy was. His policy is that a Balkari is not allowed to be teaching any real Torah, any serious Torah, just ilchus derech eretz type things. And so they were sensitive to his situation. And they said, you know, teach us some derech eretz. So what did he do? So he jumped into the mikveh, into the river. Yarad v'taval v'shana lahem. He toveled in the mikveh. He came out and he kind of shook off. And he said, all right, let me teach you some stuff. Amru lo. So they said to him, hold on a second. Lo kach limad atana rabbeinu. Wait, did we get this wrong? Didn't you teach us that shonahu b'ilchus derech eretz? That when you're a balkari, you're allowed to teach derech eretz. So what are you doing? So what did you have to tovel for? So Amr Lahem, so he said to them, Abubi Shemekel Ani Alachirim, Machmir Ani Alatzmi. Meaning that he was planning on anyway teaching the Hilchos Derech Eretz. So why did he have to go to Mikveh for that for? So he said the comment, it is a very fascinating comment really. He says, even though I'm telling other people, you could be Mekel, that you don't have to go to Mikveh just for Hilchos Derech Eretz, but I'm Machmir Alatzmi. That's really hard to understand exactly in a lot of ways. But anyway, you see at least that the attitude of being machmir for yourself, even if you hold for other people that mikvah din is mutter, but I have a higher standard. There's such a thing existed even among the Tanaim. That's really extraordinary that even among the Tanaim you had this. In this particular case, you have to try to understand a little bit what benefit was there to being machmir over and above the requirement. Sometimes you can make sense of it. You're only required to do a little. I want to be machmir and do big. So, okay, there's something there to say. But sometimes it's silly to do that. Sometimes it's silly to be machmir on a thing, which is the point to be machmir about. If you hold something is kosher, sometimes it's just silly to say, but I'm going to throw it out anyway. That's not necessarily Amidas Chasidus. So it's a little bit hard to understand exactly what he was saying over here. It must be, that he held that there's some kind of a kiyum, that there is something to accomplish by toveling in the mikveh before you learn, even derech eretz. Anyway, two dats. Brisa is another brisa. Now we get to a very fascinating opinion. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is the one that everybody kind of hopes is right. Haya Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the Tana, and remember, this is a Tana again. He's a Tana, and not only is he a Tana, he's an early Tana. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So listen to what he says. He says, Haya Omer, ein divrei Torah mekablim tuma. He says there's no such restriction on Talmud Torah for a Balkari. Ma'isa b'Talmud Echad. Once upon a time, it happened that there was a Talmud. Shaya megamgeim l'malam Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who was megamgeim. He was rushing through, kind of He was trying to kind of speed through the learning that he was saying and quoting something, the way the learning would happen normally among the Tanaim, to when he was speaking to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra was talking to a guy, and the guy was very obviously uncomfortable about talking to him about Torah things, and he was trying to zip through it. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra detected that it must be because he's a Balkari. And so he tells the guy, hold up, Bini. He said to him, whoa, whoa, Bini, psach picha v'yairu divarecha. Whoa, open your mouth, let me hear you talk. Don't worry about the fact that you're a Balkari, that doesn't matter at all. There's no restriction. She'ein divrei Torah mekablim tuma. Torah is not susceptible to tuma, and that's of course a concept, but the concept being, and therefore there's no such thing, that's what it seems like. It seems that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is saying, there's no such thing as Takanas Ezra. And that it didn't, and that you're not bound by it. And therefore, you can just say the Torah without any restrictions, even if you are a Balkari. Shenemar, hello, code very Koish Num Hashem. Ma'eshein emekabal tuma, after Torah emekabal tuma. That is like the final word here among the Tanoim that we're seeing, even though chronologically it wasn't, but at least it's presented as the final word among the Tanoim. That there's no restriction at all because of Ezra and the earlier practice that people did have, or at least some people did have, to comply and only to tovel all the time before Torah utfilah. Okay, we're going to get back to it. This subject is not over. Amar Mar. Okay, Amar Mar is an expression that the Amoraim say whenever they want to quote a Braisa or a Mishnah that was quoted earlier in the discussion. So we're getting back to something now. Amar Mar. Okay, one of the Tanaim said, Matziyahu asa Mishnah, v'ena Matziyah asa Gemara. That was one of the opinions that we had above here, which, what was it? Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef. Matziyahu asa Mishnah, v'ena Matziyah asa Gemara. So now the Gemara is saying the following. Oh, that opinion seems to support Mishaili l'Rabbi Eli. The Gemara would often do this. Amoraim would make statements. Other Amoraim would try to evaluate whether their statements are good, valid, reliable, or are false. Because what? Wait, what are you comparing? What are you evaluating it on? You're evaluating it on the set of statements that you have access to from the Tanaim. And so over here, Rabbi Eli made a comment. And the Amoraim are saying, hey, it turns out that this opinion in the Braisa seems to support Rabbi Eli. Namely, what? The Amr Rabbi Eli. Amr Rabbi Achabar Yaakov, Mishnah Rabbeinu, Halacha Metzias HaMishnah, Ve'ena Metzias HaGemara. So Rabbi Eli is quoting a tradition that dates back to Rabbeinu. Presumably Rabbeinu is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which is himself a Tana. So the whole thing really doesn't require Siyua. But the statement is, Halacha, that the halacha follows the opinion Matzias HaMishnah, V'ena Matzias HaGemara. Halachos you're allowed to do, you're allowed to say, learn, teach, even as a Balkari, just not the discussion. Now, incidentally, just so you should know, the policy among the poskim is, it's an ironic policy, what can I tell you? Normally, we hold the Tanaim to be the highest level of rabbi, but ironically, whenever a Mishnah says the halakha is, that does not have any bearing on what we hold. Our psak ignores those kinds of claims. Whenever the Tanaim say halakha blank, we ignore it. That's called ein halakha, ein halakha. The halakha does not follow essentially a halakha among the Tanaim. Whenever it says halakha blank in the Mishnah, you ignore it. When the Gemara says hilchasa blank, that we pay a lot of attention to, that we care a lot about, and that's not this. So this tradition is Rabbeinu says halacha, Matzias HaMishnah, Matzias HaGemara. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Eloi is the one, is the Amora who's saying this, and now we're finding this other braisa that Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef holds this way, so good. Anyway, Kitanoi, happens to be that there's another braisa that says this whole business, Matzias HaMishnah ben Matzias HaGemara, Devi Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, Omer Mishnah Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. I don't know what the relationship is between these two guys. I mean, it could be brothers, could be cousins, could be grandparents, I don't know. Zeh v'zeh asur. So what is there in this braisa? This braisa has Rabbi Meir holding that Metzias a Mishnah Vein and Metzias a Gemara. That's interesting. So Rabbi Meir is now on record here in this braisa as saying that the halacha only restricts you from Gemara, not from Mishnah. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, quoting Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, is saying, well, no, there's no difference. They're both blank. So one version has it they're both asur. The other version has it they're both mutter. The one who holds that they're both usher is holding this very strict way. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, that opinion was quoted also in that long braisa. And Mandi Amazev is Rabbi Yehuda ben Deseira. You have to remember the name Rabbi Yehuda ben Deseira because his opinion is the one that holds like does away with the whole Takanas Ezra. All right, and now you get to what might be, at least some of you showed him talk this way, that we get to the punchline of the sugya, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is, because his name is Rav, it means he's an Amora from Bavel, and he's a somewhat late Amora from Bavel, and he tells us the following, Nahug Alma, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, says the Minaga Olam is Kahani Telas Sabi, follows. Now, his statement was not said only here when they were talking about this. His statement wasn't said in general. That the minhag ha'olam is to be lenient to follow the following three views, three tanoim. What are they? Kirebi loy bereshis ha'gez. With respect to the question of reshis ha'gez, we'll see what that is in a second. We follow the lenient opinion of Rabbi Eloy, and that's the minhag ha'olam. Rabbi Yoshia b'kilayim, to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia regarding a matter of kilayim, of kilei zrayim, we'll see what that is in a second. And the one that's relevant for us is this third one, Rabbi Yehuda ben Deseira b'divrei Torah. So this Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak is telling us that the minhag ha'olam is to be lenient and not to care, essentially, about Tevilas Ezra. That's the minhag ha'olam. That's not going to stop us from spending the next full daf back on the discussion of Takanas Ezra. And it also is not stopping other Amoraim from paying attention to Takanas Ezra and Rishonim paying attention to Tevilas Ezra, despite this. Anyway, what are the three things that he said that we, the minhag ha'olam is lahakel? One of them is, Karebi Eloi Barat Reshus Hagez. So you're making about some matter of reshus hagez, which is what? Disanya says in Ebraisa, Rabbi Eloy Omer, reshus hagez, ain't a noeg ella, the aretz. That's kind of fascinating. Reshus hagez is a requirement that a chumash says is that when you're shearing your sheep, if you have enough sheep in your flock, you have to give the reshus to the kohen. It's one of the matnas kahuna. You're not allowed to just keep it. That's one of the rules, the dindo reisa. So what it's saying over here is that that mitzvah, there's no real reason why that mitzvah ought to be limited to Eretz Yisrael. It's not agricultural. It's not a mitzvah to Tzeluy Ba'aretz or anything. But Rabbi Eloy, so he holds Reish L'Gezen and Oigel of Eretz Yisrael. So presumably, therefore, the people living in Babel and Chutz La'aretz, they never did this. They were never giving away Reish L'Gez. So that's Minhag Ha'olam, is to follow that view. And I will just add that the Rishonim may add into this also Zeroa lechayayim and keva. This is a real issue in Kashrus. I mean, one of the matnas kahuna also is zeroa lechayayim and keva, parts of the animal. That's not a kachim rule. That's chulin. That's regular animals. And that rule also, it's a matnas kahuna, and it does not have kedusha. So it's not like truma, where you don't bother to give it away to any kohanim, because what are they going to do with it? No. It's like pinyon ben, where it's a mitzvah to give it to the kohen, and you're not allowed to just ignore it and keep it. And so somehow or other, which means, and Zorl Chaim and Keva, some of it you might say, well, it's not really my business. It's on every animal. Every animal, Zorl Chaim and Keva, is Matnas Kahuna. So anytime anybody is eating any parts of the animal, which is the Zorl Chaim and the Keva, the Zorla, you're not eating. The Lachayayim includes the tongue. And the Keva is the stomach. And so I don't know how many people are eating Keva. But lechayayim is an issue all the time. So the only reason people are mekel on this in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael there's no grounds lahaka, but in Chutz La'aretz, unless you're a kohen, you're relying on this. On the assumption that Zor L'chaim and Keva is like Reish HaGez, And Reish Lakish, we're following the Minhag HaOlam, is to follow Rabbi Loi, that it's only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laaretz. So that's what seems to be going on. So that's one issue. The second issue is Kilayim. It says here, Rabbi Yoshiya b'Kilayim, what's that all about? K'nichsiv, Pasuk says the following. It says, Lo sizra karmacha kilayim. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to plant kilayim in the kerem. So there are two broad categories of kilayim. One of them is kilayim with respect to trees, and the other one is kilayim with respect to vegetables. The halacha says that you're not allowed to plant kilayim vegetables. You're also not allowed to do kilayim of ilanos, but that's only grafting. There's no rule of planting. So now what happens if I have like an overlap, an intersection? I have a kerem, which in some ways is like an orchard because you don't replant the vines, but I want to plant some plants in the kerem also. So that's an Isser, and the Chumash says, you're not allowed. Lo sizra karmach kilayim. Don't plant kilayim in your kerem. So Rabbi Yoshiya says, you know, it's very limited. Rabbi Yoshiya says, Li'olam, Eino chayav ad sheyizra'a chita v'se'ora v'chartzim napolas yad. The prohibition is only against planting kilayim with the grape seeds. Chartzin is grape seeds, and chita v'se'ora is two different types of grains. So you're planting the kerem with the kilayim seeds. But if you already have a kerem, let's say, that's there, and you want to kind of not use some of the space, the dirt in between, to plant another type of thing. So then, this is Rabbi Yoshiya saying, okay, that's you're allowed. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to plant right next to the kerem. What you're not allowed to do is to plant the kerem with the kilayim with two other types of seeds. Anyway, it's a radical view. What's difficult about all this is the Chumash describes that even if nobody planted anything, if you happen to have a plant growing near the kerem and it's too close, then it's all going to become asur b'hanah. Everything that grows is going to be asur b'hanah. What are we being told here is the minhag ha'olam. What is the minhag ha'olam doing? Are you planting these things, but it's going to be asur b'hanah anyway? That's what some Rishonim say. Some Rishonim say, no, it means you can work for a goy who doesn't care. You want to be the farmer. So you're allowed to do the planting, but it's all going to be anyway treif, so you wouldn't do it on your own stuff. And others say, no, maybe Rabbi Yoshiya holds that it's not going to be treif. Okay, in any case, that's two. And then the third one is the one about Tfilas Ezra. That's what we just said earlier. Okay, a new story. Kiyasa Ze'iri. Now Ze'iri comes, where's he coming from? Israel. And he's reporting on something that was going on in Israel. And this is what he said. Bataluha letzvilusa. Back in Israel, they got rid of the requirement for tevila. V'yomrila, but others have it. What he reported was, when Ze'iri came, what he reported was bataluha lenetilusa, that they got rid of the requirement for netilas yadayim. So, ma di amr betulah letvilasa k'rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, ma di amr betulah letinasa k'yad Rav Chista liyet amand mehad Ramaya b'iden selusa. Two versions of what Ze'iri reported was going on in Israel, whether the people in Israel had, now these are Amoraim now, Ze'iri's an Amor. So he's reporting that they get rid of the requirement of Tevilas Ezra, is that what it was? Or Netilas Yadayim for Tevila. Earlier this came up in Tesvav Amud Aleph, and if you remember back there, there's a whole question about what that was all about. Is it requirement of Netilas Yadayim for Shema, or for Shmona Esrei also? Any case, in our Gemara, it looks like it's even for Shmona Esrei. All right, so we're still in the middle. Two dots. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're being told the following remarkable thing. If you remember, before Yom Kippur, there's a requirement of toveling in a mikveh, and it seems to be either a minhag or a din. And it says here, and if you remember what happened this year, Rabbi Glasser made a whole announcement that he couldn't really go to the mikveh, and so the only way you can comply with this rule is to have Tisha Kabin. Tisha Kabin, you have to have, essentially, it really amounted to just take a shower. So now we're being told the following. That rule of Tisha Kabin may actually be sufficient for Tfilas Ezra. all along we were talking about toveling in a mikveh for Takanas Ezra, but now we're being told, well, maybe not. So Brisa says the following: Balkeri shenasnu alav tishah kabin mayim tahor. So this Brisa says, the Tanakhama says that tishah kabin is sufficient for purposes of tefillas Ezra. In other words, a shower. Nachamish gamzu lichasher the Rebbe Akiva. Nachamish gamzu either created or passed on this information belachash to Rebbe Akiva. Lachash meaning that he just taught it to him as a kind of a secret halacha. Rebbe Akiva lichashel ben Azai. Rebbe Akiva taught it to Ben Azai, also in secret. And then look what Ben Azai does. Yatzav shana l'talmidav b'shuk. He goes and he tells everybody that he can. Is all of his talmidim out in public. Pligi batrei amoroi b'marava. In Eretz Yisrael, they had a bit of a machlokas about what really happened. Some amoroim there, Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida, one of them said that, no, it wasn't that he taught it to his Talmidim. Oh yeah, this one's a Tani, one of them was Tani Shanoa, Bechad Tani Lichasha. In other words, the tradition about what really happened over there is unclear. Did he really keep it a secret, or did he publicize? Another question, saying kind of theoretically, there is some reason to keep it secret, and there's some other reason to keep it, to make it public. Mandatani shana mishum bitul Torah b'mishum bitul Perivirivya. The one who says that he taught it publicly is because the implications of that are, first of all, bitul Torah, that if it's going to be easier for you to learn, and then you won't be deterred to learn, because if you're a Balkari and you didn't have a chance to get to a mikveh, then you're not going to be restrained. So good, so it's going to help the Limud HaTorah. And the other benefit is that if, let's say, you know you're going to have to be in the Beis Medrash the next day, you may not want to be with your wife, and that might be an issue of Bittul Peru or Avu. And so if you don't have children yet, then that's a Peru or Avu issue. So in order to not deter that, you have to make it easy for people to go back to learn, and Tishah Kabin would be easy. And so you have to tell people about this leniency so that they shouldn't unnecessarily be machmir about either Pruervu or Bittul Torah or Limud Torah. Uman Ditani Lichasha, but the one who said you want to keep it secret is because you don't want to make it too easy, because Shaloyu Talmidei Chachamim Mitzuyim Mitzal Nishaseihem Ketarne Golim. Because you don't want to have the people who are Talmidei Chachamim Mitzuyim Eitzal Nishaseihem to be too frequently with their wives. And because of that concern, they don't want everybody to take advantage of the leniencies, and so you want to make it kind of difficult. Some post-game look at this line and they see this is the key to everything. Everything starts from this line. This line may be the motivation, really, for what the Takana was all about, and it may also explain why over the years it's kind of disappeared. Because really it's not about regular people, it's about the Talmidei Chachamim. And so we're going to see on the next daf that certain leniencies for Chole, we'll talk about them later, and therefore it just kind of, the whole halakha kind of disappeared out of lack of application. But we'll see. Amar Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai is an Amora from Eretz Yisrael, and he says the following: Shamati shemakilim ba, v'shamati shemachmirim ba. I've heard both ways. I've heard of the one that they're lenient about Tzvilas Ezra, that they use Tishah Kabin, and I've also heard that they don't. But it's good to be machmir. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi has the following comment. He's one of these transitional Tana Mora people. Matibo shel tovli shacharin. I don't get these people who tovel in the morning. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Matibo? Ihu the owner of Keri Yashar b'divrei Torah. Wait a minute, what does he not get? He's the guy, the whole previous Amud was all Rabbi Shua ben Levi talking about this Takana. So what does he not get? He's the one who insists that you have to be you have to follow Tefillas Ezra. You're not allowed to learn if you're a Balkari. The Gemara says, no. Achi Kamar, Matibo be our boy himself. Efshar b'Tishah Kabin. No, what he insisted on was Tishah Kabin. He only insisted on a shower. He didn't insist on going to a mikvah. That's what he was saying. What did you have to go to mikvah for? What are all these people going to mikvah? Mativo b'tevila. What are they doing? Toveling. Efshar b'nesina. You can just have it poured over you in the shower. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina is following comment. Geter gadol gadruba. Well, it was an important halacha because it sometimes protects people from sinning. In what way? In what way? Well, because of the following funny story. The Sanya, like it says in the Braisa. Maisa, once upon a time, B'yachad shetava isha ledvar veira. Once upon a time, there was a guy who was trying to coax a woman to sin with him. Amrelo. So she was kind of resisting. So she says to him, Reka, you idiot. Yesh lach arbaim sa? Do you have a mikvah available? How are you going to get back to the base medrash? Or how are you going to daven mincha? Or how are you going to daven barav, shachas, or whatever? Yesh lach arbaim sa? She had to double boin. Miyad piresh. He said, oh my gosh. So he stopped. So he left. So that's a funny story. Anyway, the point of it is, you see that the need for a mikvah can be a good deterrent for people sinning. I guess. Amar lehu Rabbi Rav Huna l'Rabbanan. Okay, another event. Rav Huna, the Amora Rav Huna from Baal says to the Rabbanan, Rabosai! He says, guys, mipnei ma atem mezalzelim b'tevila zu? Why are you guys mezalzel about this tevila? Imishim tzina? Presumably, your mezalzel like to ignore it altogether. He says, I don't understand. Is it because it's too cold? Efshar b'merchatzos. So don't tovel in a mikvah, in a stream, in a whatever. Tovel in a bath. That's kind of interesting. That you can tovel a bath. I'm a layer of kisser. If kisser says, what are you doing? What are you talking about? B'chiyesh tevila b'chamin? Since when can you tovel in a bathtub? So I'm a layer of adav arava koi kavasach. So he says to him, yeah, what you're saying is also what Rav Adav Rabba objected as well, but the reality is that for these purposes, it's kosher. That's where we're going to discover another leniency. Rabbi Zera, have a Yosef be'agna demaya be'masusa. So this Rabbi Zera was sitting in a bathhouse, sitting in bathwater. So Amar Leila Shamei. So he tells his assistant, Zil Isili Tisha Kabin, Vishari Ilavoi. Go grab Tisha Kabin and dump it on me. So Amar Leir Rechia Bar Abba. Rechia Bar Abba says to him, Lamalila Marguli, hi, what do you need that for? Oh, Yosef Begava, you're sitting in an actual tub. What do you need a shower for? So Amar Leir, Kiar Boim Sa. Well, because these rules follow like mikveh rules. In what way? Mar Boim Sa, Betavila, Vilobinasina. Just like a mikveh, you have to, the mikveh water has to be in the correct thing in the ground, and you have to tovel immerse in it. So af tisha kabin, the tisha kabin variant of it is benesina velo betvila. It has to be in its mode of delivery, which is has to be dumped upon you, not you get in and into it. So that's what he told him. I'm sitting in this tub, but that's not working for a Tisha Kavan. I need to have somebody dump the water on top of me. So Rav Nachman, okay, new version of this. Rav Nachman, Tikein Chatzava Bas Tisha Kavan. The Amor of Nachman kind of instituted or invented or designed, I don't know, a Tisha Kavan bucket for the point being that people should have access to it and use it, and it should be easy for them to use the Tisha Kavan. Kiyasa Ravdimi, on the assumption that it's going to be effective. Kiyasa Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Israel, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Amar, he said, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda, Gilustra, Amru, Lo Shonu, Elo Lachola, Leonso, Aval, Lo Lachola, Margil, Arboimso. So what did he say? He said, you know, that the whole concept of Tisha Kabin was very limited. It only works for a person who has two lenient things going for them. Namely, one is the person is a chola, okay, not a regular healthy person who could get over to a mikvah. A person is chola. And two, it's when the zera, when the balkeri happened, leonso, meaning not when he was with his wife, but when he was, just happened to him, unplanned. But that's not really what most people are like. They don't fall into that category. And so then it was no use for his great invention. So it says, you see, so, Amar Rav Yosef, Itbar Chatzavi de Rav Nachman. So you see, Rav Nachman's invention went for nothing. It, like, theoretically, it kind of broke. meaning it's worthless. Kiyasa Ravin, not Rav Dimi, said, well, Be'usha have a uvta bekila de Rav. Now we're on Amid Beis, finally, where it says that v'shalu l'Rav Asi, yes, Rav Asi, amr lo lo shana v'lo l'chol amar giel v'lo l'chol l'yonso patzer meklum. No. The point is that the Tisha Kabin works for a chole, even if we're talking about a situation where it's margil, where it's in the where he is with his wife. But if he was chole and it was an unplanned rias keri, he doesn't need any tefillah at all. So that leniency, that version of the leniency, Amar Rav Yosef, he said, oh, I guess according to that, it's tamid chatzavid Rav Nachman. Then Rav Nachman's bucket is going to be valuable. Because why? So here's the key. Obviously, this is only you're talking about cholim. How many people are cholim? So they point out that like stam talmidei chachamim are treated as cholim. Stam talmidei chachamim are treated as cholim. That's a kind of an attitude that the Gemara has in some places, and the Rishonim are using over here to explain what he was saying. And that is how some understand is why over the years, well, look, we're going to see the rest of the daf over here. I don't know, we don't have really a lot of time, but we'll spend a few more seconds just getting farther along here. But once we start seeing leniencies for chole, and once we start seeing that Talmid Chachamim automatically declared cholim by nature, and once the entire Tekanis Ezra was for the Talmid Chachamim in the first place, then the whole thing kind of dissolves. Anyway, so now look, the Gemara has the following kind of odd comment. It says, Mechti, kulu amarai betanoi de Ezra kamiflagi. Like all of these discussions that we've had about the Takana Ezra, v'nechzi Ezra, hey, chitike. Well, why can't we just check? What was the Takana? It's funny that the Gemara raises over here. Tosis points out, I mean, the Rishonim are kind of pointing out that we're always doing this, and we never ask the questions, why don't we just find out originally what the rule was? That's what we're all discussing, is what was the original rule? So what was the question in the first place? Tosis is something unique about this whole halacha. Any case, so v'nechzi Ezra, hey, chitike, amar Abaye. So Abai is going to have an explanation, and Rav is going to have an explanation. Abai's explanation is that Ezra tikein lebari alone, bari hamargiel memso, bari leonzel tisha kavin. Ezra only was talking about baris, people who are healthy. So he said, if you're healthy, then when you're with your wife, you need a full mikvah, and if it's not, if it's leonzo, then tisha kavin. Now other Amoraim are coming, and they're arguing about what would the halacha be for a chola. Marsavar chola amargil is kibari amargil and chola liyonso is kibari liyonso. Marsavar chola amargil is kibari liyonso v'chola liyonso patame klum. These Amorayim want to know, how would you reply the chola status? Do you say that chola is like bari, or do you say the chola is like one level lower? Amarava, Rava says, no, I don't think it's exactly like that. Nehida tikein Ezra tevila. Ezra only mentioned tevila in a mikvah. Nesina mi tikein. He says that you never see anywhere the concept of Ezra tikin tevila lebali karyin. El Amar Rava. So Rava had the following: Ezra tikin tevila lebari amargil memsav. Ezra only mentioned for a healthy person, and only the need for mikvah, which is when he's it's a planned balkari when he's with his wife. But Asur Rabbanan, and then the later Tanoim came iskinu lebari liyonso. Tisha Kabin. The later Tanoim added the need for Tisha Kabin for a Bari Leonso, and now the Amoraim are arguing about Chola. That Marsavar Chola Hamargil Kibari Hamargil Chola Leonso Kibari Leonso. So one of the Amoraim here holds that the Chola is the same as the Bari. Marsavar Lebari Hamargil Titmemsa. Chola Lamargil is Kibari Leonso Tisha Kabin. But Chola Leonso Bartamiklum. And a Rava, the Amora, comes along and says, Hilchasa, and the Psak is, and it gives you a three-tiered Psak. Bari Hamargil, the Chola Hamargil is Memsa. Okay, anytime you're with your wife, you need Memsa. Bari Leonso, Tisha Kabin, and if it's Leonso, if you become a Balkari Leonso, you need Tisha Kabin, Aval Chola Leonso Pater Meklum. That's what it looks like the bottom line ought to be, because this is Rava and he's giving you a psak. However, that's why the Rishonim are not necessarily swayed by this. because they consider that the statement of Nachman Yitzchak above, which is that nobody follows it at all, as being more dispositive. All right, I guess we're going to stop here. There's a lot more to do here on Chafizim and Beis before we get to the next sugya, but all right, we'll stop here. Okay, everybody, our next year is going to be on Pesach, I think, sometime. Anyway, you have to check the schedule. It's what? No, I know, but there's some kind of a plan, I think, that's being devised about, since it's all kind of electronic, it may happen. I don't know. Well, stay tuned. Stay tuned. We'll figure out what it is.